The readings today differ in tone and in focus. The first reading presents a consoling view of God's patient, caring love. The Gospel presents a vision of single-minded, energized apostles, witnessing by word and deed to the advent of the kingdom of heaven. The passage from Hosea reveals God's long-suffering compassion for errant Israel. The passage from Matthew describes an active task force, each member stripped down to the most basic belongings, proclaiming the good news in word and deed. Two very different readings, but we will see they can be related to each other. The language of the reading from Hosea certainly touches one's heart. In Hosea, God speaks of how he taught the chosen people to walk. Who took them in my arms, I drew them in human cords with bands of love. I fostered them like one who raises an infant to his cheeks. Yet though I stooped to feed my child, they did not know I was their healer. One is reminded of the passage in Isaiah in which God tells us, "Can a mother forget her infant, be without tenderness for the child of her womb? Even should she forget, I will never forget you." Today's first reading contrasts with the passages from Hosea we have seen earlier this week. In those passages, God vents his wrath upon the erring leaders of Israel. But they also picture God as being the spouse of his chosen people, however unfaithful those people may be. Today's reading picks up on that image. God tells us, "My heart is overwhelmed, my pity is stirred. He will not destroy his people, he will forgive yet again. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One present among you. I will not let the flames consume you." This vision of God, loving, long-suffering, will resonate with those who have accepted the message of Christ. This is the God Christ reveals. Anything of wrath on the part of God is actually a disaster we bring upon ourselves. Alas, many individuals and many communities do not respond to God's witness with grim results. This is recognized in today's gospel. Yesterday, we read of Christ choosing the 12 apostles. Today, he orders them to proclaim the kingdom of heaven and to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. The apostles are to travel light and to depend on the hospitality of those who respond to their witness. Christ recognizes that the witness of the apostles will not always be accepted. "Whoever will not receive you or listen to your words, go outside that house or town and shake the dust from your feet. Amen, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." At first blush, it doesn't seem this mission of the apostles can have much to do with our living, our Christian faith. Could we echo the apostles' stark existence as they proclaim the good news? No money, no sandals, nothing to carry things in. And how many of us have cleansed lepers, driven out demons, raised the dead? Yet the Holy Spirit at special moments may enable us to echo the activities of the apostles. The scripture scholar William Barclay looks to the Talmud, the central text of rabbinic Judaism, to explain why the apostles were to take with them very few possessions. The Jewish commentary tells us no one is to go to the Temple Mount with staff, shoes, girdle of money, or dusty feet. In approaching holy ground, one should let go of everything dealing with business and worldly affairs. Barclay explains, "What Jesus is saying to his men is, you must treat the whole world as the temple of God. If you are a man of God, you must never give the impression that you are a man of business, out for what you can get." The apostles must show that their interest in godly things, not material things. It may be that at grace moments we are able to share the good news effectively with others. We should be aware that such an exchange may indeed take place on holy ground, that those we talk to are in a spiritual space where they open their hearts to the Holy Spirit. Our attitude should certainly be one of conforming to God's holy will, forgetting any other considerations. Spiritually, we should travel light in such exchanges, concentrating on witnessing to the faith, trusting that the Holy Spirit will be active. We may even accomplish echoes of the miracles the apostles perform, healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing lepers, driving out demons. The Greek for sick and heal the sick means to be weak. In God's providence, we may indeed be able to help strengthen spiritually ailing sisters and brothers. Barclay points out that sins can deaden human souls and can pollute human existence. It may be conformed to the will of God. We can help resurrect the spiritual lives of others. We can contribute to the joining to the faith community those who regard themselves as unclean. As Barclay says, Jesus Christ can cleanse the soul that has stained itself with sin. We may participate in that cleansing. It may be that we can contribute to the freeing of others from the demons of addiction or untrue understandings or mental obsessions. open to the action of the Spirit, traveling light, we may well find ourselves on the holy ground of spiritual resurrection, of healing, of cleansing, of casting out demons. And key to our echoes of the Apostles' miracles lies in the mercy and love of God we bring with us to these graced encounters with others. We can find ourselves on holy ground, able to effectively convey the reality of God's tender, patient love, so beautifully expressed in today's reading from Hosea. Tied to God, as Hosea says, with bands of love, and concentrating on God's will rather than our own interest, we may find ourselves on occasion living out a version of the mission Christ gives to his apostles in today's gospel.